Scripture reading will be taken from Acts 9, verses 3 through 8. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus.
We on upstairs? There we go. Okay. How's everybody doing tonight? Guys, it feels real quiet with some dead air in here right now. You okay? All right, I'm just going to put this out here at the front. I am glad to be here. I'm excited. I don't know how excited I'm going to get. Some of you guys know how that tends to go. But for the benefit of everybody else and some of the moans and groans from a couple Sundays ago, I was met at the back door before we were about to get started, and Mike was like, "I'm really excited. We have some college students here. This is our welcome night for all our folks from OVU, all clustered here up front. Welcome to you guys. This is going to be a good time." And Mike just dropped this little birdie in my ear. He just said, "I'm really hungry." I said, "Noted. We'll move quick tonight." So I do have just a few minutes, and I think the discussion that we're going to have is going to be one that will both be interesting, challenging, edifying. I hope that you guys will get a lot from this, because this is something I've been chewing on for just a little bit. It's called Quantum Breaks and Clean Slates, and you guys are probably looking at that like, "Oh boy, here goes Mr. Computer Science. Now he really wants to drop it on us now." No, I think this is going to actually be really relatable, especially in light of the fact that we're studying Acts, and we're talking about discipleship, and Paul, or Saul, as it were, out of our example tonight, is always a relevant topic. But let me start first by just asking, has anyone in here ever had deja vu? Deja vu? You like deja vu, or does deja vu make you kind of uncomfortable? You don't like it? I like it. I think it's so cool. Like, when I was younger and I read a lot of sci-fi, I was thinking, like, this is the latent potential that God has put in every human to have precognition and see the future. And when you're in deja vu and you're so focused on not breaking your deja vu that you can't actually pay attention to what's going on during your deja vu, I always end up ruining it for myself. But there are moments like that that we all experience where we feel like we've been there before, and then there are moments that we don't recognize that have a similar feeling. But just looking back, you recognize that that was a moment where everything changed. Anyone have a moment like that before? Well, now that you look back at it, you're like, man, things are just totally different. And I didn't know it then, but you have that same kind of weird feeling, or at least I do, when I think about something like deja vu. I think about these things, points in time. Quantum breaks for the rest of our time tonight are going to be just moments in time that I'm going to call forks, where a decision is made, an action is taken that irrevocably changes the direction of everything for that person, that people group, that community, that organization from that point forward. And we've all had moments like that. But if we could see them ahead of time, or we were aware of where they happen, maybe we could utilize them to our benefit a little bit more. This happens all the time in our life. It has happened all the time in our history. It happens all the time through Scripture. And these moments are just fractures in the norm where everything distinctly shifts into another path from where it was headed before. So for tonight, that's what I'm going to be saying when I talk about a quantum break. And I'm going to suggest they're always associated with a clean slate. Ever been at a point in life where you wish you could just wipe the slate clean and start over? Yeah, that becomes a benefit. David, you're the only one nodding, but there's a lot of folks who are either really not with me right now or they're not very honest. So I'm with you. We all need a clean slate from time to time. Let's just break this down. Here are a couple quantum breaks that I see in our history that we'll be familiar with. I can't hit every one, but here are some times where I see, just thinking about how we live life, things really changed. What's this? This is the Boston Tea Party. What happened at the Boston Tea Party? They made some tea, right? Yeah. Colonials were ticked off at what the British government was doing, so they decided to dress as Indians and throw tea into the harbor. Really interesting way to go about things, but they got their message across, and from that point on, I will consider that a quantum break, because that was kind of the tipping point, the powder keg that set off the American Revolution. And you know what happened after the Revolution? The new and modern style of democracy that the world had not seen before came into place here, and that revolution would spread. France would kind of get into the fray after that, but they did a lot of weird things with guillotines, and I can't really say it's that related, but you get it. Democracy happened. This was a quantum break. After that point, the world was never going to be the same. There are other times in our history. What's this? Yes, it's a car. What kind of car? This is a Model T. And what's distinctive about the Model T? Mechanical. First car on an assembly line. This totally changed the game. We went from this kind of carriage-looking car, automobile box thing, to everyone needing a car on the road to get where they want to be in this country. And here's the interesting thing, and here's why it's a quantum break. Because it fundamentally changed American life, and life in the West, and life across the world from that point forward. Some night before Ford dropped the Model T, a guy bought 1,000 horses. Mm-hmm. You ever thought about that? And he woke up the next morning like, that's never going to go anywhere. Cars, automobiles, look at that thing. It looks hideous. Who's ever going to want to drive one of those instead of riding on the back of one of my steeds? Well, here we are now. Quantum break. Things have been forever different. What's this? We skipped a couple big places along the way, like the Civil War and some stuff like that, but this is the internet. How many people were around for the beginning of the internet? Should be mostly everybody in here. David, you felt real old for a second, right? You were like, you lived through dial-up. Wah, wah, wah. Yeah, yeah. I know all those sounds. You know what it was like to log on, you know, instant messenger, set up a reel. Yeah, boss away message, probably some My Chemical Romance lyrics or something. So people thought, yeah. The internet changed everything. And I'm not sure we knew that the internet was going to change everything. But my next few examples are actually going to be showing us exactly how much the internet has been a quantum break for all of our society and everything that's come after it. Okay? Nothing has ever been the same. What's this? This is 9/11. Definite quantum break. Things different now after 9/11? It's one of those moments that you look at and you know where you were. For some of you, the first time that happened in your life was JFK. But certainly for me, I remember right where I was sitting in the ninth grade in Mrs. Staub's English class, supposed to be reading a book called Cold Sassy Tree. I don't even know what that book is about to this day. And 9/11 happened right there in the middle of class and nothing was ever the same. Nothing has been the same. It's one of those moments where things change radically. Now back to the internet, what do we have going on here? Anybody old enough to remember going to Blockbuster? Oh yeah, Blockbuster was awesome. When our scripture reading came up, it looked like an old CD with the, I was like, that looks like Blockbuster right there. We're right on point here. Blockbuster was where you went to get your movies, family video, all those things. You guys are looking at me like, what are you talking about? This is what I'm saying. This is a quantum shift. Then Netflix happened. And Blockbuster had the chance to buy Netflix, and they decided not to. And here's the reason why they decided not to. People love coming to our store to see their friends. They love reading the back of the VHS boxes so much. This will never take off. Wah, wah, wah. That was really good. That was really good. We gotta keep him around. So this is a quantum break. This is a shift. This is a paradigm break where things are done differently from that point on. Let me talk about Uber for a second. This is how much things change on a quantum shift, on a quantum break, okay? Things change so much that when I was growing up in the 90s, yeah, I'm a 90s kid, one of the last, by the way. Actually, every kid that was ever born in the 90s is over 18 now, so I'm actually really old at this point. I consider myself old. There are no more 90s kids. We're all grown. Isn't that crazy? That's kind of crazy. When I was growing up, you know what they always said? Don't get into cars with strangers. You know what else they said? We're still terrified of the internet. Don't talk to people you don't know on the internet. Yeah, that was the big thing. And now, today, when I land in a city on a business trip or I'm going to speak somewhere, guess what I do? I get out my phone and I call someone that I don't know over the internet and I get into his car. Ain't life crazy? It's a quantum shift. It's a quantum break. Now, before we go any further with random examples of how this works, I want to hone in on our character for the evening. His name was Saul at this point. And Saul shows up in the book of Acts, and he is an intense guy. Saul shows up in our scripture in chapter 9, and at the very beginning of that chapter in verse 1, it says, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, to see if he could find any belonging of the way, men or women, and he might be able to bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly, what happened? Quantum break. That's what happened. You see, Paul's got a history. Paul's a guy who was named Saul, And while he was named Saul, he was very, very proud to be the Israelite that he was. Very proud of his heritage and where he comes from. Not just that, but so much so that when this Jesus guy and his band of merry heretics came on the scene, he was infuriated and angry. And you know what is interesting about the entire story of Saul and becoming Paul? Is that when you are confronted with something that clashes with your current paradigm of the way the world ought to work, sometimes you get really mad about it, don't you? And Paul got incredibly angry. You know, there are people who refused to get Netflix because they wanted to support Blockbuster. They hated the way things were going. There are some people who would have stopped the internet to keep libraries, not knowing that the two could come together and do just fine. But this is Paul looking at a quantum break, and here's what I mean. It's not just that he saw Jesus on the road. It's a complete reversal of his entire life. Everything that his life had been about was being turned upside down. The Christians had arrived on the scene and they had said, by the way you guys are obsessively keeping the law, you Pharisees, that actually doesn't matter anymore. Everything that you've built your identity on doesn't really matter. And as a matter of fact, you're leading people away from the way that they ought to be going. And there is only one name under heaven by which man can be saved, and that's Jesus, whom you crucified. And for this, for Paul to be butting up against what was a quantum break in the history of the world, solidified and sealed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, was the most tension-filled and uncomfortable thing he could have ever endured. He was kind of like all of the colonies before the Boston Tea Party packed into one person getting ready to throw a little party of his own. And he goes off on that road to Damascus, and a light shines around him, and he falls down on the ground, and he hears a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, but rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. And the men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. And Saul arose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing, so that they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, where for 3 days and nights he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Have you ever gone through a situation in life that brought you to a place where you had to reevaluate everything that you thought you were? You ever been there before? You ever had all the pieces come crashing down in an instant? Have you ever kind of been like Saul was? When he recounts his conversion again in the future and he tells this story again and again and again as it goes throughout his life, he talks about how Jesus told him, it's hard for you to kick against the goads, Saul. You've been fighting this for a long time. You ever been fighting against something for quite a long time and then finally the bottom just falls out and now you're in a place of darkness where you feel like you can't even eat, can't even drink? You ever been on a quantum break, so to speak? This is where Paul is right now. His heritage has been turned upside down. His identity according to the law has been turned upside down. His experience and his mission and his hope has been turned upside down because Jesus is out here preaching grace and blasphemy. And deep down inside, he knew that there was something to it. But we have this encounter on the road to Damascus that I'm calling a quantum break. On the Damascus Road, where everything came crashing down, and what does God do with the pieces? And I'm asking for a little bit of feedback here. What does Saul get out of this break? What happens? He becomes saved. We start calling him by a new name, don't we? He gets a new name. We start calling him Paul. I want to suggest this. Number one, God takes the pieces from this quantum break that was the shambles of Saul's life, and he gives him a new name, and he gives him our title's sake. He gives him a clean slate. And part of that clean slate for Paul's life is a new sense of hope and a new sense of freedom. One of the things that's written in the letter to the Romans, which is always challenging to dig through because it is so deep, is this sense that Paul was really free for the first time when he got out from underneath of the identity of who he thought he was before. All that strict adherence to the law and that zeal that he was such a slave for. And he realized that he was actually not even really seeking God, but he was just seeking to be perfect according to the law itself. You see, Paul got a new name, he got a clean slate, and he got a freedom that he never actually had before. He got a new mission and a new hope, and he got a story worth telling. What's interesting about Paul, and I believe there's a lesson for us today, is that he never stopped telling this story. It was the thing that he was saying to people again and again and again. If we go forward into Acts later, you're going to see when he's recounting his conversion, when he's recounting his life and his mission, when he's incarcerated, he's always telling this story. Acts 22, Acts 26, when he's before all the different governors and kings, he's telling this exact same story about how he was out to kill Christians, and yet there was this collision, this quantum break on the road, and from that point, everything changed. When you experience a quantum break and God gives you a clean slate, those pieces that you pick up are meant to be powerful testimonies of the God who has given you a clean slate, who has given you a new name, who has given you an actual hope and an actual mission. None of those things come apart for no purpose. And the question that I just want us to chew on tonight for a second before we move forward is, are we actually telling that story today? Are you telling that story today? Do you know that story? I think we're really good at teaching the story modernly, but are we good at really telling the story, sharing the story in a way that means something to someone? I want to really drive this home because I want to tell you the story of two brothers. And this one hits close to home because this is somebody that I know, and I learned this story a couple of years ago now, and it's fascinated me ever since. And this is kind of how God works. And I think it ties to what Paul's experience was. And I think it ties to what our experience is. And I think it ties to what everyone's experience through life is going to be. These two brothers were named Robert Lee and Charles. Now, Robert Lee and Charles were in business together, but they were in a little bit of an unsavory business, okay? They ran moonshine. It was long before the Discovery Channel was making specials out of it, and it was actually not looked down upon. Not good business. So they were running moonshine north and south from Mississippi and Alabama all the way up north into Michigan and all the way along the way, okay? So these two guys, kind of vagabonds, kind of shifty, trying to stay away from the law, something really weird happened. One of the brothers, Charles, met a lady named Annie Mae. And Annie Mae was a God-fearing woman. And Annie Mae started to exert a little bit of pressure on Charles that he needed to get out of the family business. Robert Lee didn't like that. Charles didn't like that. And for a while, things went okay. But then the authorities started to close in on Robert Lee. And they started to close in on Charles, and eventually they gave Charles and Robert Lee an ultimatum. They said, essentially, if we see you in town anymore, it's not going to go well for you. And so they had to leave. And they picked up and they took themselves out of town. Robert Lee continued to stay in the family business. He went all the way up to Detroit, and he eventually would settle there, but he lived a life doing pretty much what he'd done all the way up until that point. Now, Charles, on the other hand, had Annie Mae at his side, and she was progressively jerking a knot in his tail, so to speak, and she settled him down really quick. And so they actually dissolved their business, if you could call it, and they went separate ways. And they went separate ways in such a quantum break, in such a change, that Charles actually even changed the way that he spelled his last name, partially to distance himself from his brother, and partially to distance himself from the authorities, I suspect. But that's neither here nor there. Here's what happened to the two brothers, okay? Robert Lee continues to ply his trade. Eventually, he begins to have a family. Those family members were people named, ironically enough, Robert and Robert and Darian, and there were some others over there. That side of the family, from what I am told, was always plagued by various issues. The things that come along with a hard life. We're talking about checking out of life early. The people that I know of that live on that side of their family, incarceration all over the place. I was at a funeral for one of their family members, and one of their little kids, who was 13, actually came in off the jail truck in his prison orange and his shackles. There's substance abuse, there's addiction, there are broken homes, there are broken families. All of this comes from Robert Lee, who stayed in the family business. On the other side, you got Charles, and Charles had a couple of sons. He had a son named Charles. They were really big on naming their sons after themselves, which is really original. We don't really do that so much anymore, so he had a son named Charles, and he had a son named Bernard, and he had a son named Emmanuel, and he had a son named Billy. Now, Charles and Billy both passed away due to health issues earlier, but Emmanuel and Bernard continued to go. Now, Bernard, he met another gal who jerked a knot in his tail and exerted even more pressure than his God-fearing mother was exerting on him, and her name was Michelle. So, Charles' son Bernard meets Michelle, who's a small-town Christian girl, and they settle down, and they go on to have a happy family where they've got two daughters who have finished graduate school at this point, and they've got a son. And on the other side of the family, guess what? there isn't one. It's actually over. Robert Lee's line is done. Charles's line continues. But when I was learning this story, I was looking at the thing that was different between the two. Have you spotted it? You see, the only thing that was different between those two sides of that family tree was a quantum break, an intervention where Christ collided with somebody in that family. And when Christ collided with somebody in that family, it forever changed what the destinies of everyone down through that family lineage were going to be. You see, there's nothing really different about that family. One side experienced terrible hardship and things that were really self-imposed. The other side seemed to have found a way to move past that. And neither side is really better than the other, but one side has Jesus and one side doesn't. This story matters. I don't know why. I know this story matters because Bernard had two daughters named Nicole and Renee, but he also had a son. And that son is standing right here in front of you tonight. That's me. That's my story. See, there was a quantum break. There was a shift. There was a moment in time where Christ intervened in my family tree, and all of the ridiculous providence that I take advantage of today and stand before you is only a fruit of somebody throwing out the anchor and making a decision two generations ago that things were going to be different now in our family. Far be it for me to pretend that I'm better than anyone else that's a part of my family, that I wouldn't end up like anybody else in our family did. I know that I benefit from the one thing that makes all the difference in the world. Am I coming across to you guys? That's a quantum break. Now, here's the part that I don't want you to miss, okay? There comes a freedom in that. That is a story worth telling. Everything in our family is radically different. And you get serious about telling the story when you realize just how far back God's providence goes and how far back God's providence had to begin for me to have the opportunity to know Him in the way that I know Him now. That's what all the stories are about when you really think about it, aren't they? I mean, Paul's story really goes back to a collision with Jesus on a road in Damascus. Abraham's story, his quantum break, goes back to an encounter when God calls him and tells him to leave his people and break away from where he was comfortable and making a life for generations. And even if you don't know it, if you're sitting here tonight, there was a quantum break at some point in the past where somebody in your family threw out the anchor and changed things forever for your family line. Somebody made the decision. Somebody made the call. Somebody took action, and everything has been different ever since. Has it not? Do you know that story? Do you know how privileged you are? Now, sometimes quantum breaks in life are not good. Sometimes they're bad things, uncomfortable things that we have to get through. And sometimes we don't understand how they're working. But I can tell you this, if you're sitting here tonight and you're gathered amongst the saints in God's kingdom, there can be no doubt or no argument that He has been working for you up until this point, or otherwise, why would you be here? Look where it's brought you. Everything along the way. All the stories, whether about a person, a community, an organization, or a people, are all about a collision with Christ and a clean slate and wildly different destiny that awaits them on the other side. There's a quantum break for someone here tonight. I think everybody, and you might be experiencing it right now. This is college welcome night. I just want to spend 1 second talking to you guys. Quantum breaks are kind of like deja vu. Yeah? Deja vu is weird because you don't realize you're having it until you're there, and sometimes you don't realize until you look back on the other side that it was one of those moments. There are moments in our lives that just naturally are quantum breaks where we get the chance to throw out an anchor. And there are moments that we don't notice that they are until we're looking back on the other side. But going away to college is definitely one where everything changes forever. Everything changes, doesn't it? How many of you guys are freshmen? Freshmen? Just one? See, they already know, and he's over there like, oh no. Everything is going to be different. But here's the power in that. You get the chance, just like my ancestors did, just like Paul did, to decide now what this is going to be for you. You get the choice every day to decide whether this is going to be the moment where everything is different. You can decide now what's important to you, what your relationship with God is going to mean to you, how dedicated you're going to be to that, what your relationships are going to be like, who you're going to spend time around, what you're going to value, what you're going to stand for, what that integrity that we prayed about earlier is going to look like. You get to make that decision right now, and you have no idea how that's going to affect generations from now, someone looking back and saying, wow, I'm really glad Christ intervened in my family tree way back when. I'm really thankful for that quantum break. You know, you got a story worth telling even if you've grown up in the church, even if you're not in college right now. Have you thought about what that might look like? Somewhere back in that line was a break where somebody changed everything forever. If you don't know that story, I would encourage you to seek it out. God has been working. And for anyone who's not a Christian here tonight, I just want to leave you with this thought. Your story matters. Everyone's story matters. Generations from now, in ways that you can't possibly see, those breaks, good and bad, all along the way, and how you respond to them and what you decide to do with them are going to matter. They're going to matter, and they're going to make all the difference in the world. If you are here tonight, God has been nudging you to this point and this moment, a rare choice, a rare moment when you're actually aware that you're in one of those moments, that you have a chance to make that choice. The decisions that you make now will set a course. And here's the best part. You're in a quantum break almost all the time. And so long as Christ is resurrected and so long as he has not returned, you have a chance to have a clean slate too. Any moment you choose, everything changes forever for the better. If you need a clean slate tonight, you have that chance at freedom. You have that chance at hope. You have that chance at a story worth telling. And I would encourage you to tell it and tell it loud. If we can help you have that quantum break tonight, we would invite you to come as we stand and sing.